basically, our life is a gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have a message that maybe I'll save for another day, because we've heard a lot tonight, but about broken relationships. I think it's a good message, but maybe it's a big thought, so I'll save it for maybe Sunday morning or something.
Then you can have it in two.
Two parts. We'll see where we get, but first I was kind of, Pastor Toll's message really got me thinking about just what God has done in our lives, you know, and what Ben said also about contentment. And I was just thinking about, like, just how thankful I am, really, to God, like, for my life. I was thinking about this. I was actually having the same thoughts like Ben, just looking at people, like, in Sweden, people have so much, you know. Like, I'm going to Turkey next month, and we work with a lot of people there who have very little. I mean, they have one of the guys in our church, you know, he lives in a home with the rest of his family. I think it's like 12 people in one apartment about this size. And like, people really, you know, they're without in many countries. I would say most of the world lives in you know, somewhat poverty. And of course, like, my mom used to tell me that when I wouldn't eat my broccoli. I used to laugh at her, like, yeah, well, Mom, you can put it in a box and send it to the poor people if you want. But, you know, I don't want to eat it. And I don't want to, you know, like, obviously there's, we can't change that, you know. Like, some people, they feel very guilty about that. We don't have to feel guilty, that's not my point, but that we would be thankful, you know, that's the point, really. And I meet people, honestly, I meet people who have nothing, very little, and there's so much thankfulness in their life, and it teaches me to be a thankful person. And Pastor Toll was just talking about how the greatness of God really can lead us to a thankfulness, because you realize how small we are, really, and what we really don't deserve anything that we have. Our lives, our you know, families, our church, you know, this tonight, like, we don't deserve to have this, honestly. I mean, it sounds funny to say that, but we don't deserve to have this amazing life, but we have it, and it's really by grace. And we need to really ask God to show us what we have. There's a verse in Proverbs, I don't remember where it is, but it says that the gift of the gift of God is as like a precious stone, and it blesses, like, every way you turn it, that it blesses, like, you, like, it doesn't matter which way you turn it, but each facet of, like, a diamond, you know, as you turn it, you see, like, the light coming through, and it kind of reveals something about that stone. And the gift of grace is like that. That, like, we can turn it and see from many different angles the manifold grace of God and what God has done in our lives. And each time we turn it, like, it really blesses us, and it causes us to be so thankful to God. And I mean, I'm very thankful for my life, you know, my family, where I've come from, you know, my salvation. I'm so thankful for the cross. That my sins are paid for, really. That my freedom in Christ that we have, because we don't have to live in guilt, we don't have to live in the shame of our sin, of our failures. Like, these things, like, I'm so thankful for, honestly. And can we ever be thankful enough? No, obviously. We could never really be thankful enough for what God has done. But we can learn to receive, you know, God's thoughts, receive the thankfulness from the Spirit of God, and to think about our lives from that perspective, and to say, wow, like, God is so amazing. I'm so thankful to know these people, to have these thoughts, to be on the street, and to have a purpose in my life, you know, that goes beyond the shopping and the details of my work or my school. You know, I have something, I'm connected to something that's so much bigger than me. And an amazing God, you know, a God that loves constantly, unconditionally, and it's all mine, you know, it's an inheritance, and I'm so thankful for it. And this is kind of leading into the message that I don't want to preach. It's hard to avoid this, but yeah, well, I was going to talk about the prodigal son and the broken relationship between him and his father, and really how the broken part of his relationship came from, like, not understanding his inheritance. You know, that was like his problem. He didn't realize what he had. Like, he didn't realize who his father was and what his inheritance really meant to his father. And when he asked for his inheritance, he actually, in that culture, it was like saying to his father, that you're dead to me, actually. Like, I just want your stuff. Like, I don't care about you anymore. I just want your stuff. What I was going to get when you die, I want that now. And that meant, like, in that culture, that you're dead to me right now. So give me all your money. And imagine the father, like, and the disconnect there between those two people. And how powerful that is. But then we know, like, the end of the story. We can go into greater detail later, but and the amazing, like, thankfulness that was in his heart when he came. Not only did he come back, not only did the father receive him, but he ran to him. And he actually, someone brought out in a message that he probably ran to him because in the book of I think Leviticus, it says, you know, if someone goes away and lives in sin, like the father, like, is supposed to stone, or the elders are supposed to, like, stone the child, you know, in the old law, that, like, that child was supposed to be, like, stoned if he like, took the inheritance and wasted it. And it was, like, a punishable by death, you know. So I think the preacher I was listening to said that the father ran to him. One reason was because he wanted to get there first, before the elders of the town met him with judgment, you know, and like that mercy rejoices over judgment in that situation. And that is something amazing. And that is actually what's happened to us, that we received, like, people out there, they have so much from God, even if they're not believers. They don't realize it, but actually most of their life is not anything they've created. It's something they've inherited. You know, to be born in this country, to have the families they have, you know, to have the opportunities that they have, to be alive, to have air. Do they pay for the air? No. Do they pay for the grass to grow every spring? No, it just happens by the grace of God. But they live their life like it's not a big deal, you know. And actually, we in Turku, where we just were, there was this guy who gave this amazing testimony. He was a professional cellist, played the cello in a Turku orchestra, very gifted cellist. And his family was believers, but they were also alcoholics, his parents. And he decided that that Christianity is stupid, actually, because it makes people, like, miserable. Because he saw his parents, and they were Christians, and they professed, you know, to be believers, but actually their life was very, like, miserable, and they became alcoholics. So he was very stung by that, and he decided that he'll never be a Christian. And he decided to make his own life and make a good life and be happy, and that was his goal. And he found that it actually happened. Like, he got this amazing wife, amazing job, amazing school, graduated, became, you know, the first cellist in the Turku Orchestra, like his dream job. And he's playing every night, and he's loving it, and he's happy. He said that he was so happy he couldn't even sleep at night. He would just sit in his bed, and he'd be like, wow. He'd look at his wife and go, oh my gosh. But then he came to Christ, because he said one night he was so happy, and he realized, like, who do I have to thank for this? Like, he knew that, like, he could not have manufactured that kind of life by himself, and that there must be someone to thank. And he started to read the Bible. Like, he got up late one night and took a Bible off the shelf and dusted it off and started reading the book of John. And he realized that, like, Christ really had given him all this. And he never thanked him for it. He never thought about him. And he kind of just broke down there and just, you know, asked Christ to forgive him and to come into his life. And it's an amazing story, because that is how a lot of people live their lives. Like, actually, everything's okay, you know? Like, it's not a big deal. Like, God, oh yeah, God, that's nice for you, but I don't need God. But actually, they need to thank him it's so important to know where everything is coming from and what is the source of our life. It's a great God who doesn't demand us to be thankful either. That's amazing. God is not sitting there in heaven like waiting for us to be thankful, you know. Like, come on. When are you gonna thank me for all this stuff? Like, come on. Like, you gotta thank me. No, he's just like giving us what we need every day. Just giving us, you know, amazing things all the time. And we choose to focus on what we're missing a lot. You know? In church life we do that. In our relationships we do that. In families we do that. In my work I do that. I look at all the things that aren't right. You know, oh, that's not right. That person's not right. This is missing. That's missing. Oh, where's the, you know, I need 100 crowns, not 90 crowns. Like, I'm thinking, like, all the things that are lacking in my life. And God is just keeps giving. And he wants his grace to, like, overcome our unthankfulness so that we would break down in a good way and just say, like, God, like, forgive me. Like, I want to know you. I want to know you in my life, and I want to be thankful for what I have. And maybe this is really just for me, too, like just that I would think about my life and just learn thankfulness, you know. In prayer, actually, some people say, like, I have a tough time praying, you know. I have a tough time praying, like young people. I try to pray, and suddenly I'm distracted, and I'm going to my computer, and I understand that. Like, I have an iPhone, and I'm always like, oh, yeah, what's the score of the game, and what's this and that, and I'm like, okay, I'll pray now, and I'm looking at my iPhone. That happens to us, and especially in this generation, but the best way for me to pray is to start by just thanking God. That's easy, actually. If you can't thank God, like, there's something wrong with your brain, you know? Maybe that's what I'm getting at tonight. Like, maybe something's wrong with my brain sometimes. But, like, it's so easy to just think of something that you can thank God for. There has to be something. Like, I tell that to young people because they're like, my parents are stupid and my school is stupid and this is stupid. And they're so, you know, teenagers can be so, like, small-minded sometimes, we can be. And I'm just like, well, think of something to be thankful for. Like, you have to be able to think of something. And they're like, yeah, I guess, you know, I'm alive, so I could thank God for that. And, you know, okay, I guess I could thank God for something, you know. And they start to think, and actually there are as many things, you know, what we can thank God for. And obviously salvation is the best thing. And then our lives and our daily, you know, God's daily faithfulness in our lives. And this is maybe a really random message. It's not really a message, I guess. I'm just talking to you guys. But, like, I'm really just thankful for all of you, actually. That's where I got the idea for this message. Like, just your lives. Living in Sweden, being a believer, it's not the easiest thing. You know, every country has its challenges, and the devil makes sure of that. But Sweden has its own challenges, being a believer, especially in this day. And you're doing it by faith, really. And I'm sure you don't see the results all the time. Of what it means to be a believer in Stockholm, but I can see that, really, like the fruit in this church, from when I first met this church, maybe I was here first in 2009, probably, or 10, and where you guys have come from then, like just seeing everybody growing in Christ, and I'm so thankful, really, for your lives. Like, don't quit, don't stop, you know. You're going to have, I'm sure you have very challenging lives, many of you, and most of you probably do. But you also have an amazing God, like, who just keeps giving all the time. So we can really focus on that. And, he heals the brokenhearted. He heals the broken things in our lives. And we can look to him, look to his grace. And it's amazing. So, wow. Good to see all of you. And I'll be here for a few days. Hopefully. Unless I get kidnapped. Swedish mafia. But yeah, you can pray for my trip. I leave Sunday, right after the church service, I have to fly to Turkey, about, I think it's at 2 o'clock, my flight. And then the next day, I go to Oman from Turkey, Muscat. I'll be there for 6 days. And that trip in itself is a miracle. Like, I didn't have the money for it Saturday, and now the money came, like, miraculously. So we bought our ticket for that on Tuesday. So I go to Oman. Pastor Monte Silvio, who's part of this church here, he'll be doing like a design fair. He's actually was in the celebrity pages of the news, Omani newspaper. It's like a big deal. And the princess, one of the princesses, it's a sultanate, like a monarchy in Oman. And one of the princesses has been really like closely linked to Pastor Monte and his artwork and what he's doing there. So he had the place in this big, the biggest design fair of the year in Oman. People come from Dubai and from Abu Dhabi and all over the Emirates and Saudi Arabia, and it's a big deal. So he'll have an exhibition there with his art in a design fair, and he'll meet like hundreds and hundreds of people. I was supposed to be a part of the team, but it's just, I don't know if the design fair is really my kind of. He'll probably drag me there anyways, like he usually does, but. Like, you can pray for that, because that's huge. I mean, Oman is like very Muslim country, and but there's so many people there who are seeking God, and they want to know what this life is that we have, that we're so thankful for, and that does so much in our lives. So you keep that in prayer. And then the Bible school in Istanbul, our international Bible school, running from February 10th to March, I think March 8th, and we'll have, you know, Arabic translation, Turkish, Russian, and Farsi. We have people from all those language groups coming. Probably have about 20 students there, maybe more this time. And it's going to be just a powerful time, really. People coming from all over the Middle East and Central Asia to learn this book and to hear these amazing words that God has given to us. And I'm just so thankful, really. And you guys are a part of that. Like,
yeah.
I hope you know that, really. Like, without you, I'm serious, without what you guys are doing here, just coming and being a part of this church, and your giving and your support and your prayer, these things just would not be happening. So don't stop doing it. It's having a chain effect, like, all over the world. And I get to see that, and I'm privileged to go see the other end, you know. And it's amazing, so. Let's just pray. God, thank you for, really thank you, God, for what we have. Teach us to be, not to be familiar with these things, not to be familiar with one another, not to be familiar with your word, with your life, with your salvation that you've just graced us with. And God, just teach us, lead us to people that we could just manifest that thankfulness and that joy. What we have in Christ, and just teach us to love one another in the body of Christ, to edify one another, to call each other, and to build each other up with communication and with just showing up and being a part of this by faith. And just thank you for the church here in Stockholm and our churches in Finland and all around the world, in Russia and Europe. God, and just thank you for this night. Thank you for your spirit that's in us tonight, anointing us to think about these things and to speak about these things when really we could be doing so many other things in the natural. You bring us to your amazing spiritual level, and we can think with you tonight. So thank you, Lord, and just continue to minister to us tonight here and in Martin's house, and thank you for his availability to have us here, and bless him and his family as well. And, just thank you, Lord. Pray for the night tomorrow night with the young people that we'll have, and also Sunday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Just bless our steps, God, guide our steps, and lead us to someone here in Stockholm that we could witness to at some point this week, this weekend. Bring us people, put them in our paths, and just give us the words to say and the heart for them. And
We just worship you tonight. We just bless your name, and we ask you to continue to bless this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay.